God bless you. That's how we celebrate here. That's how we do it here. You know, sometimes people don't realize God does not function. People don't know this. God doesn't function in time. Time was not created for God. God supersedes time. Time was created for us. God put time and seasons in place to be able to order, to be able to usher in new season. When the fall comes, the leaves will fall. It is a sign for us, not for God. It's a sign that it's a new season. The leaves will fall. Then when winter comes, everything hibernates. Then when spring is coming, a new life begins to spring forth. And that is the order of life. God makes everything beautiful in His time. Hallelujah. So every season of your life, celebrate. Don't be with people who don't celebrate you in seasons of your life. Are you hearing me, somebody? Oh, don't hang around people who don't celebrate you in seasons of your life. Yes, you got to celebrate. Celebrate the seasons. Because different seasons mean different things. They bring in different things. And know your time. Know your season. Know the moment you are in. In fact, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He cried. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you will kill the prophets. He says, he wept over them. He said, because they did not know their time. They didn't know the time. They were in the time, the Kairos moment, but they didn't know the time. He wept over them because they didn't know the time. Know your time. Know your season. Hallelujah. And it is your season, your time to shine. Hallelujah. I say it is your time to shine. Amen. We'll continue on that on Sunday. We'll pick on that on Sunday. We'll talk about that. If you missed this past Sunday, I want to urge you to go back and watch online, because unlike what I've done before, where I go back to start building the foundation, we'll just continue building the house. Are you hearing me, somebody? So the onus is on you to catch up. If you miss the foundation, don't come when we are putting the roof. Just imagine they are putting a pillar and there's no foundation. You will be carrying a lot of weight, and it's unsustainable. So what we do on Wednesdays, there's a reason we call Wednesdays Bible Exploration, right? It was designed like this on purpose. On Sunday, we talk generous stuff and really good stuff. Then on Wednesdays, we go deep into the Word. We explore things that helps for discipleship, to ground you. Praise God. And so that's what I'm going to be doing today. You know, it will still help along the same lines, but I know Pastor Victor, Pastor Peter, and all the other pastors have been teaching powerfully. We're talking about ecclesia, we'll talk about prosperity, we'll talk about different things. And today, I just want to go back to a passage of scripture that I preached here for over a year. Some people got angry because I'll talk that same passage for 1 year. And the people who got angry, they already know where I'm going to. You know, it's very good. You know, until you hear a word and you think you're tired of hearing it, then that's when you start hearing it. And one of the ladies who got angry, she can tell you thank you for that word that you preached, because it entered. When the moment you start saying, "Ah, pastor doesn't have anything else to preach," you are beginning to listen. So let's go to John chapter 15. Hallelujah. You see, one of the things I wrestle with constantly is, I notice that we do, and when I say we, our world now does a lot of commercial Christianity. Commercial means that ones that is marketable, you know, and sometimes it is not sustainable. You know, when you eat ice cream is good, it's commercial, it's made for her. Go to Brahms, get this, it's good, it's sweet. But the moment that cone is finishing, you're thinking about the next one. You're hungry because it doesn't get you to satiation. It just, it fuels you temporarily. It whets your appetite like an appetizer. And if your whole meal is an appetizer, you're in trouble. Are you hearing me, somebody? So, because we don't spend time on discipleship, that's why we have what we call some flaky individuals in the church. They'll tell God, "I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice. I love you, Father, with my whole heart. I'll go where you want me to go." And when the Father says go, they say, "I don't like that one place." You see, when Pastor Peter talks about his experiences in Kenya and just in life generally, you ask a question: what is it that has sustained them this long? There are Christians, you see, you ask, well, what is it that has sustained them? Because some people right now are not that sustainable for this long anymore. I was telling somebody today, the time you will know you love God is when you have all the opportunities that you can have in life, and God is still your number one priority. That's when you know you love God. The time you can really know that you're on fire for God is when you don't need to pray for certain things to happen in your life. Then you still pray. You didn't hear me. You see, there are times you get into life where you are not putting in too much effort and things are happening. You've gone to what they call autopilot. And that's where the real believers are separated from religious ones. There are people who, oh Jesus, I'll do everything. Until when he does everything for you, you now come to the place of rest. David was a victim of that. The Bible says it was time when kings go to war. David had come to the place where he settled. And kings went to war. David was in the palace. And that's when he found Bathsheba. He began to see what he should not see. He began to do what he should not do. He began to orchestrate and plan murder. One who loves God. You don't know what you can do when you don't need to pray or to believe God for certain things. I'm telling you. There are some things in life that, you know, there are seasons when you're believing God for this, because sometimes we've been so oriented towards God being the doer, being the giver of all good gifts, but you haven't known him as a father, or you haven't known him as God. Job came to that place. Job said, though he slays me, even though Job was wrong, his perception was wrong. He says, though he slays me, yet I would trust him. That's when you know that you have fallen in love. Peter came to a place with Jesus. When Jesus asked him, will you not also go? He said, Master, where shall we go? Seeing that you have the word of life. In other words, we have considered where to go. The things you have said are hard. They are difficult for us to take. But where shall we go to? We have no alternative. There is no option. It is not money we're looking for. It is not work. It is not popularity. It is not the limelight we're looking for. It is you have the word of life. What will sustain us? And I'm saying this for a lot of you because Not that I fear, not that I'm concerned with the advent of social media. And technology is very important. It's very important. Use it for your advantage. When I see believers in church and they say, oh, take your cell phones, let's share. You don't share. I laugh. You know why? Not long ago, people had to gather money to go pay. Churches had to be paying to get time on TV. Oh, yes. People used to raise enormous amount of money to pay for a local broadcast to get on TV. 30-minute segments on TV. You hear the thousands of dollars they pay. There was a time I considered radio for us to do our thing on radio here. Some of the Christian radios. And they wrote to me. You know, they were writing. I got the thing. Then I called them one day. I heard the money. I said, are we paying mortgage or we pay for radio? I heard me somebody. Christian radio. So don't mind when you hear them. They're doing all those jingles. Christian radio. You pay money. Then you have one free of charge. You have your private broadcasting station free of charge with your group of friends. And they say, share. Some of you are too, you know, you are too. There is something. There's something. You have not come to that place. When you come to the place where you are broken, when you are dead to self, when you know whose you are and to whom you belong, you're not trying to impress nobody, then you started walking with him. You started walking with him. Let's go to, let's go to John chapter 15. That's our scripture. But before we look at John chapter 15, let's begin from Mark chapter 3. I believe Mark chapter 3, the gospel of Mark chapter 3. Ecclesia, build your church. Strong churches are built by strong believers. God builds strong churches by building strong believers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we together? Tell your neighbor, neighbor. No, you're not talking to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, look at them and say, neighbor, God builds strong churches. Lizette, who is your neighbor? Talk to your neighbor. There's mama here. This is your neighbor. God builds strong churches by building strong believers. So God wants to build you. And God is building me. Make yourself buildable. So our church can be strong. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We've just gone through a little bit of discipleship. You know, some of you, when I say you're not talking to your neighbor, you got offended. We overcame the offense. Some of you would like to sit alone on this side. Not a problem. You know, I like to step on toes. Pastor Blaise knows how to look for trouble. I'll give it to you. Mark chapter 3, verse 13. Mark chapter 3, verse 13. It says, and he went up, Mark 3, 13. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted. And they came to him. You know who he is? That's Jesus. And he went up on the mountain, on the high place. And he called to him those he himself wanted. Jesus has called us. He wants you. He called to himself those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Verse 14. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach. Did you see that? There are two things that are happening there in verse 14. Let's go back to verse 13. I want you to see something. Verse 13. And he went up on the mountain, on a high place, on an elevated place, and he called to himself those himself wanted. No one comes to God except he has called them. So God wants you. He called to himself those he himself wanted, and they came to him. They came to where? To him. They didn't just come to the mountain, they came to him. And out of the many that they came to him, he appointed, verse 14 says, he appointed 12. Now, he appointed 12 that they might be with him. Where were they? They were with him already. They appointed them that they might be with him, and that he might send them. Until you are first with him, you cannot be sent by him. God wants you with him. Are you hearing me, somebody? God wants you with him. Emmanuel, if you don't have a notebook and a pen, I'm going to buy you one. Okay? But you can buy a notebook and a pen. I heard you have a job now. So this assignment now is for you to buy a notebook and a pen. On Sunday, I want to see you in church with your notebook and a pen, taking notes. Praise God. This is part of discipleship. I can show you my notebook. I say, I have my Bible from when I was a teenager in high school. And mind you that I didn't grow up in church that was teaching like this all the time. But when I became saved, I've written in it. I wrote in my notebooks. The books became full. I've written it. The other day I was searching for one of my son's documents. And I stumbled on some notes that I'd written some time ago, a long time. And it took me like 30 minutes just to sit there and read it again. And my heart was refreshed. Hallelujah. He's called you to be with him, that he might make you, then he might send you to preach. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach. Praise God. That he might send them out to preach. Verse 15. Some people love this. They love this. And to have power to heal the sick and to cast out demons. See how commercial Christianity. Now, let me help you. You know, I love to. Let me rub it in a little bit. It's really good. You'll love it. This is how commercial Christianity love it. Come. And he'll give you power first. No, they might be with him first. He appointed them to be with him. He makes them. Then he sends them out to preach. And is a conjunction. If you learn English properly, you know the word and. It's a conjunction. That they might preach. And have power. It's addition. Have power to heal sicknesses. Not a sickness. And cast out demons. The byproduct. Hallelujah. You know what's flamboyant? It's to heal sicknesses and disease. So you see, you have people who have not been with him. They just want, Lord, give me power, power, power. Power will destroy you. Power is good. Very important. The power under control. When you've been with him. Am I talking to somebody tonight? Am I boring? No, I'm not. If I'm boring to you, I'm not to myself. I'm preaching really good. Preaching really good. Good word. I could clap for myself. And to have power to heal sicknesses, all kinds of sicknesses, and to cast out demons. To cast out demons. But first, that they might be with him. Let's now go to. We're going to go there. Yes, let's go to John chapter 15. And you now understand why John chapter 15. For those of you who I taught that for 1 year, I never brought it from this perspective. Let me help you now. John chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus speaking, he says, I am the true vine. Now, I'm a stickler for words. Words stand out to me. I am the true vine. He didn't say, I am a true vine. I am the true vine. A is an article. There is an article. A is an indefinite article. Because if I am a true vine, in other words, there could be other true vines. But he says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. The only true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Now, for him to say I'm the true vine, it means that there is another vine that is not true. I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. If you don't know God, you will not know what the Father does. You will think, Jesus is not the vine dresser. You say, I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Verse 2. Then he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch in me. Not a branch anywhere. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Who is it? He is not Jesus. The Father takes away. The vine dresser. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. You know what pruning is? It means to cut. Sometimes some of you, when God begins to prune you, That's when you run away from church. I don't like the way they are treating me, you know. I don't like the way they're talking about me. Hey, you are being pruned. I don't like the way that sister looked at me. They're pruning you. The way Pastor Blaise just picked on me today, he just talked about, he just called, can you imagine, he called my name from the pulpit. You are being pruned, sister. Pastor stepped on my toes. We're trying to kill the feelings out of those toes. Some people are gossiping about you. You are being pruned. In this world, you will suffer persecution. Are you hearing me, somebody? Every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Why? What's the purpose of pruning? That it may bear more fruit. He prunes that it may bear more fruit. He begins to chop it. Pruning is a deliberate intention. And by the way, pruning sometimes is a cutting of excess. You go to a branch and they begin to cut excess so that you are not, your sap is not spreading to places that are unnecessary and that will make you less productive. You are not too spread and unproductive. That's what pruning is. So let me ask you a question. Remember we said that God builds strong churches by building strong members, strong Christians, right? And he's building you as a strong Christian. So the question to you is, have you been pruned? And pruning doesn't happen once, okay? Did you hear me? Doesn't happen once. So if you've not been pruned the first time, you still have a lot to go through. It doesn't happen two times. When you go up, he prunes. As you just begin, he prunes that you might bear more fruit. He doesn't want you to settle in the status quo. He prunes. He prunes. And sometimes with commercial Christianity, when it begins to prune, that's when we go and start praying. Father, everywhere the devil is troubling me. It's not the devil. God is, he's pruning. Just pruning. You see, there are some things that it's not the devil, okay? Now, hear me. I'm not saying that you should allow the devil to take advantage. You need to understand, because the devil also knows how to take advantage of some things. But there are some things where, like I said, there was somebody I prayed for in this church. I prayed, I fasted, prayed, and fasted, prayed, and fasted, prayed, and fasted. One time, we were about to pray, Pastor Esther and I. The Lord said, "This, don't pray. It's not, it is, it's, you know, it's part of process." And they needed to grow. They needed to learn. It helps you. It grounds you. There are some things God allows you to go through. He's pruning you. Pruning you. Pruning you. Teaching your hands to war. Training you. Curbing your appetite. Because where you're going to is flowing with, the land is flowing with milk and honey. If your appetite is not curbed, milk and honey will... You will eat milk and honey so much, you won't be productive. Are you hearing me, somebody? I'm preaching good. Yes, Sister Beryl, am I not? Real good preaching, right? Yes. Prune. He prunes that it might bear fruits. And I remind you that both the branches are in him. Okay? And both branches are cut. Can you see that? Put that up again. He said, any branch of me that does not bear fruit, he cuts. The one that bears fruit, he prunes. Pruning is a form of cutting. And cutting is cutting. Yes. But the thing is this, sometimes cutting, you know, you can cut a branch and it still stays like it's fresh, it's wet. It just looks like it's still there. You just cut it, allow it, you just sit there. That's the worst thing for a believer, eh? To be disconnected. You still look green, but you've been cut. You're cut off. Communication is cut off. I've heard this. God is the only boss who can fire you and keep you working. You continue working. Prunes are in my barefoot. I'll remember the person and let you know. They fire you and keep you working. Now go through the Bible. You'll find a lot of people who were fired and working. The devil has been fired a long time ago, but he's working to and fro. Of course, he's not working for God. He's doing his agenda when God needs something. Yeah, he's working. You hear about somebody? Like my bear more fruit. Let's go, verse 4. Then after he says that, he now gives us, verse 3. He says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. You see why I was just dwelling on this? You are clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. You are already clean. If you allow the word to get into you, it will clean you. You will be washed. You'll be clean. The word has a way of pruning you. Are you hearing me, somebody? If you allow the word will make you. Because when Jesus called them to be with him, you know, what was he doing? He was just teaching them the word. Just speaking the word. The word began to change their characters. It began to transform them. Some of them were fearful. Some of them were afraid. Some of them were, you know, wavering. But the word began to change them. As they began to listen. As they began to look into the perfect law of liberty, they were changed and transformed. So let me say this to you. If you ever hear a word that gets under your flesh, under your skin, don't hate it. Don't hate it. Love it. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Love it. Appreciate it. Don't look for just the word that is like, you know, in America we love sugar. Have you noticed that? We love sweet things. Give me some sugar. You know, this thing, you tasted it, it wasn't sweet. Like, and for those of you like you don't like sugar, don't worry. Just your tongue haven't adjusted yet. Some of you just first came, you're like, I don't like those things. You know, when you just first came as immigrants, sesame chicken, how can it be sweet? And very soon you will like sesame chicken. Honey chicken, you will like it. Don't worry, your tongue will get adjusted to it. Then when you now eat regular, you're like, oh, no, I need me some sesame. Just put me some little sauce, barbecue sauce to it. How many of you know Chick-fil-A, right?
Yes.
You know why I like Chick-fil-A? It's their sauce. It's the sauce. There's nothing more. I know when Chick-fil-A started those sauces. There was a sauce called honey mustard sauce, which was simply real mustard is a little tart and yeah, it's strong. So they developed a mustard because of, you know, sweet tooth, honey mustard. Then I think about 2011 or so, 2010, 2000, then there was honey mustard. Chick-fil-A used to have honey. I think they may still have it. Then they now developed their own sauce, which is like honey mustard, then with a little bit of, you know, smoky taste to it. And that's it. He heard me, somebody. And now he like it. Just like it. They have great customer service, by the way. All the things. I'm not advertising Chick-fil-A. If you're a Chick-fil-A manager, please come to Living Word and give. Here, I've done free advert for you. Product placement. That's what I'm doing here. You need to develop your own so I can talk about it like this. So, you know, sweet things. So, the word, Jeremiah said, I ate the word. I found the word and I did eat it and it was sweet in my mouth. Buy the truth and sell it not. Don't just look for what, you know, give me sugar. You know, we like sugar. You know, that's why I was going to all this thing about the sauce. Sugar. The word that is sweet. It's like that sauce. Then when you're done eating it, you want more. One more later. Sometimes some words are strong, like this one I'm talking. No, there's not too much amen, not too much hallelujah. It means that you're listening. I love it. I love your faces. I'm just seeing. It's glowing. Some of you is entering. You're doing your face like. It's not a problem. It's all right. It will do you good. It'll do us good. Do us good. So Jesus says, in verse 4, he says, abide in me, John 15, verse 4, abide in me, remain in me, as I also remain in the Father. The King James says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. What are you and I? We are a branch. You cannot bear fruit on yourself. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen a fruit? Well, some of you may say yes to this question. So let me kind of do that. Where do fruits really grow up? On the branches, right? The branches. Now, there are some exceptional trees. You will see the fruit will shoot off on the stem, but it's really not. There will still be a little branch. He said, abide in me and I in you. It's not just you abiding in me, being like a leech that is just sucking. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Because if you are abiding in me and I am in you, there is a sap that I will give to you. And then you will bear fruit. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Neither can you. Neither can you. So if we want to see fruit, we need to emphasize people abiding in Christ. Be with Christ. Be in Christ. If your character has not been transformed, go closer to him. If your passion has not been ignited, then you are far away from the fire. You see, the closer you are to the fire, the warmer you become. You didn't hear me. The closer, if there can be a bonfire here, that your body temperature is determined by how close you are to the bonfire. If you stand on the outside and watch, you will see the light. You enjoy the light. You may be clapping for everybody who is around it. But if they actually touch the temperature, they will be able to tell who was closer to that fire and who was far away. And that's how some believers are. They say, fire! Yes, fire! Hallelujah! They're shouting. The fire is right there. They're shouting. They're enjoying the light of the fire. But they themselves are not being set on fire. So, there's some people, if you take them out of the community of believers, they can't survive. If you take them out of the bubble, you'll be amazed, you'll be shocked what they become. When God is pruning you, he's pruning you alone. Eh? Did you hear me? Yeah. He doesn't call us, okay, Pastor Peter, Pastor Blaise, Pastor Victor, Pastor Esther. Now let's it's time for pruning. let's prune you. You have support system. Every branch, they just come to that branch and prune that branch. When they're pruning on this side, the other branches on that side, they are there. They are there, just glowing. The wind is passing. The flurry. Why this other branch is bleeding? It's bleeding. It's bleeding. The sap is now going to that branch. Sometimes some of you, when you turn on your social media, you're looking at all your friends. Their lives are shining. You're feeling sorry for yourself. God is pruning you. He's taking some appetites away from you. Wow. Are you hearing me, somebody? Taking away jealousy, anger. Rejoice with them who rejoice. Celebrate with them who celebrate. He said, why is it only them? Why is it only them that things are happening in their lives? When you start celebrating them, then you also come. Some people, God gives them a little thing. Their shoulders grow higher than their higher than their heads. Pride just fills their hearts. That's how the devil was. Pride just fills their heart. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Then he reiterates in verse 5 why he says that again. He said, I am the branch, I'm the vine, sorry. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears some fruit. Wow, much fruit. So how do you bear fruit? Abide in him. Abide in him. No wonder he called them that they might be with him. Then he might send them to preach and to heal all sicknesses and diseases, and to give them power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Because why? Abide. Tell your neighbor, abide.
Abide.
Abide. Abide. Abide. Abide. Abide. Abide. Abide. Don't be too flimsy. Don't be too up and down. Too shaky. Toss about with every fruit, every wind of doctrine. Today you are this. Oh yes, it's happening here. God, oh God said, God said. Tomorrow God has changed his mind. God is not Oklahoma weather. One day he's hot, tomorrow he's cold. No, it's not. Are you hearing me, somebody? Abide. 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 My time is finishing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, abide.
Abide.
I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Bears what? Much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. The day you will know. This sounds simple, but it sounds simple and it's stupid, but it's very profound. The day you will come to the realization that God is smarter than you, that day your life will change. You know, sometimes we think we are still smarter than God. Even though we say that, you know, we know God is smarter, but sometimes the way we act, it's like sometimes unbelievers, we're trying to corner God. We're trying to outsmart God. God is all-knowing. He's very smart. And sometimes we're trying to, you know, Father, you know, he knows. He knew before you even knew, before you started thinking. Before your brain was formed, he knew. Because when you know that God is smarter, but without him you can do nothing, you just become anything to him. That's why Paul says, everything that meant anything, I've given it up. I count them as worthless, that I might gain the excellency of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor one last time, abide.
Abide.
Abide. Abide. Abide. Abide. Okay. My time is up. Let's rise to our feet. As you rise to your feet, look at your neighbor and find a neighbor and look at them. And tell your neighbor, God builds strong churches by building strong Christians. And building strong members.
And building strong members.
He is building you.
He is building you
so that he can build his church through you.
So through you.
He wants you to be with him. So he can make you into him, his image. And send you out as his representative. Do not run away. Don't abort the process. Don't cut it short. Abide in him. Hallelujah.